Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Probably figured it was the only way to get the two of us to break our code of silence.
Well, that would require both of us wanting it broken.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 7, You Had Me at Goodbye. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Wanting it broken. You just gotta love those little Philly touches. Give me a water ice. Anyway, hello, Tara.
Hi.
Hello, listeners. Just a quick note for what's coming up on the Patreon. Again with this, episode 250, which drops Friday, August 1st. Let's watch Jack Wagner's first episode of When Calls the Heart. Season 1, episode 11, Rules of Engagement. It's on Hallmark Plus if you would like to watch it. If you are like, isn't this the show that Lori Loughlin got kicked off of and it's where everyone is just wearing stuff from the J. Jill catalog, even though it's supposed to be the 1890s? Yes, it's that show. We never watched it either. Let's find out what happens.
Okay, I was going to ask if you watched it yet, because this is the show I'm obsessed with, because I don't know when exactly it's supposed to take place, and there's very conflicting clues in the commercials I've seen in my travels. So I might watch this with you.
Oh, yes, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's 19. Sorry. Any hoodle for that and many other episodes, again with this podcast.com/club. We really hope that you will join us or at least check out our pledge drive. See what's new. See what you're missing. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I forgot to put it in the doc, but also dropping this week on Thursday, July 31st is going to be the end of June and the month of July again with them. And we're recording this on June 19th. We have even less idea than usual about what's going on, but whatever it is, it's probably dumb. So if you're a supporter at the $5 level and up, that is a perk, especially for you. Again, as Sarah already said, again with this podcast.com/club for more info. Let's get into it, starting with our B plot. Joey and Dawson separately struggle with empathy for different, often unlikable jerks. In Joey's case, the jerk is Dawson. We open on Joey back in Ms. Watson's office, looking tenser than ever. Ms. Watson assures her that she's ahead of the game in the college application process, other than the peer recommendation that Williams College requested from the person who knows Joey best. As Joey spirals, Ms. Watson says Joey has the easy job of just picking the person because Ms. Watson doesn't watch the show, I guess. And when Joey says she was hoping to take a break from big decisions and their consequences, Ms. Watson tells her to close her eyes, clear her mind, picture the question, and then tells Joey to open her eyes and asks who she saw, which glides us into the credits because we all fucking know, even though Joey could totally sidestep this entire storyline, Agita, by asking, I don't know, her sister?
Thank you. Thank you. I will say that is dumb and it is a contrivance, but I did think that the writing stepped through this struggle within Joey in a way that was sensible and sort of, it felt 17 and not 32, like some of their internal conversations feel. And it was quite a contrast to the way the Jen/Andy Altoid of Doom aftermath was handled. But we'll talk about that more later.
We will. At Mr. Brooks's house, Dawson is breaking down his equipment. Mr. Brooks comes out to say it's about damn time. And Dawson mildly says his appreciation for a job well done could swell a young man's head. And about that, Mr. Brooks doesn't think the job is done at all, never mind well. Dawson's cheap paint and cheaper labor don't make Mr. Brooks whole on the damage to his boat. If he really thinks the paint is cheap, I'm surprised he let him get this far. Like, that's your house. You got to live with it. Like, mandate better paint or get it yourself. Sorry, this is the homeowner coming through.
Yeah, really.
Instead of arguing that point, because he can't, Dawson says, clip two.
I understand that from your point of view, what we did was...
illegal.
Right. But look, it was a matter of life and death.
Well, compared to that, what's a little matter of whitewashing my fence?
Well, there's the issue of my untouched applications for higher learning.
Believe me, Mr. Leary, from my observation, isn't going to be all that high.
Look, the thing is, I just don't have the time.
You're a resourceful lad. After all, you found time to steal a boat when you needed to. Now, if you want me to honor my promise not to press charges, you need to honor yours by working off your debt.
This is just one of those plots that I guess we just have to live with because they're not going to revisit it on our say-so. But despite the chest hair and receding hairline, according to the show, this is still a minor child.
Yeah.
This all should have been worked out in writing between the Learys, the parents, and Mr. Brooks. Or the Learys should have been like, you're a known crank. Go ahead. Get Sheriff Witter involved. We'd love it. Enough already.
Yeah.
This is extortion. All of this is dumb and should not be happening. And I'm actually surprised at how well Dawson is handling it. Although, of course, that lets him be smug about turning the other cheek. But I'm just exhausted. Get to the part where Mr. Brooks is awesome, please. We're waiting.
Yes. Well, my question is for you, because how much time is it supposed to take to apply to college? I don't remember any time I spent applying to college or grad school. Is it different in America? Because I went in Canada.
You know, I come from a time when you had to Xerox the application and rehearse type it. Like, it was something that you sort of spent the periodic agonized morning on a weekend dealing with, and then you went back to doing your regular homework.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was in the last millennium. It was really a long time ago when I did it, and I only did it once, and when they let me in, I was like, fuck you guys. It just went where they would take me.
Yeah, I think I applied to two different places, even though everyone knew I was going to go to the one where it was going to be free. So that was part of it. But like all the stuff about like, oh, your essay, like I never did any of that shit. Canada does not care.
Yeah, the essay was, I looked at my file. It's what got me in. So I'm glad I obsessed over it to the degree I did. But it was also like, it was one application.
Yeah.
And once that was done, like by Christmas of senior year, I was done.
It's not over here, sadly. No sooner has Pacey greeted Joey, waiting for him at his place, than Gretchen interrupts them to say he was supposed to get groceries. Will we ever find out how Gretchen is supporting a two-person household? By the way, totally sick pad on her tips, tending bar off-season? I guess not. They're never going to talk about it. He also pulls up in a car. It's like, whose car?
I think we've seen that car before.
We have, but it was his dad's before.
Yeah, who gets to use that, and doesn't Sheriff Witter hate him? And like, there are a lot of questions, but I choose to believe in terms of the real estate that it is cheap because it's the off season.
Okay.
And a question mark. But then how is she making any money at LFF? I don't get it.
I did, however, finally figure out what I thought was a Potter B&B sign is the flag from the regatta last season, because we get a clearer shot of it in this episode, even though the B&B fake sponsored was Dawson's. Hello.
Why?
Paid for it himself. Whatever. Pacey heads back out without inviting Joey to come grocery shopping with him. Rude. This leaves Joey to ask Gretchen how she avoided college application dysphoria. Gretchen changes the subject to whatever's actually on Joey's mind right now, and Joey tells her about the peer recommendation. Gretchen jumps right to the same assumption we all did, which is she's going to ask Dawson. Joey tries to laugh that off, but then says if she does ask Dawson, it's going to be an issue with Pacey, which, why? He's not, I assume, monitoring her applications. She could just not tell him? Like...
he's that, like, you know, secret writer like Dylan McKay who, like, whatever, fucks off at school because that's his character, but is actually supposed to be smart and a good writer. Like, I wouldn't give this to Pacey even if I thought he knew me best. Yeah. Sorry.
Gretchen tells Joey to be a little selfish and actually answer the question, and Joey winces. And when we see her next, she's walking up to the front door of the Leary house with a piece of paper, and I'm just not sure how to feel about any of it until clip three. Is the flautist someone's niece? Like, why is there so much flute this season?
Also, dear Flutaling, she's not coming to tell him that he has stage 4 cancer. It's a peer recommendation. Yes. Like, I know it's a teen drama and they're teens, but less flutely despair.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
It's either hearing someone has stage 4 cancer or you have a UTI. Like, it's either or something is wrong with your vagina.
It's the before part of the Claritin commercial. Like, guys.
Anyway, she turns around without knocking or leaving anything and then sees Dawson coming out of a shed, hilariously overloaded with painting. Shit, like, make two trips, you weirdo. It's so much.
Oh my God,
stuff.
Your caption on this in the visual aids is like, men really will do anything to avoid making another trip, including dislocating all joints. It's so true.
He guesses she's not there just to help him with his stuff, joking about her feeling guilty that he is working off their boat debt by himself. And she exposits that she and her yacht club employment are grateful. And as they put everything in the truck, we get this clip 4.
So, are you gonna ask me?
Ask what?
You've got your favorite face on.
I do not.
No, you've got your I'm lying face on.
Okay, it's, here.
Person who knows you best. Wow. Wow.
You said that already?
Yeah, I thought it had more impact the second time.
So what do you think?
What do you think?
I think that I want you to say that you'll write it for me.
Are you sure that I'm the right person? Does Pacey know about this?
No, but if you say yes, he will. Are you the right person, Dawson? Well, you are the only person who knows that I have a favor face. I'm just asking that you ponder the possibility, okay? And if you do decide to write it, then you are the right person.
Okay.
I mean, I know this is where it is, but like, since Dawson isn't there emotionally anymore, why don't we just speed up the moving on?
Yeah.
Of this.
That's your favor face is sort of cute, but I don't believe that he has had enough emotional maturity this whole time to have gleaned that from their interactions, honestly.
Mm.
But he gives her a chirpy okay and waits for her to get a few steps away before sighing. And after commercials, Dawson is painting the fence and glancing at the Williams College form he has not only brought with him, but left sticking out of his bag where it could certainly get painted on. Not that it does. After a while, Mr. Brooks comes out and invites him in for lunch, which coming from him sounds like this, clip 5.
Mr. Leary, unless you like to starve to death, you better get in here.
Yeah, you gotta bag your own in that situation. Sorry.
Well, this gives us our first look at the inside of Mr. Brooks' house and as Dawson is studying the various framed photos on the walls, one of which, by the way, is definitely Harve Presnell's real mother because she looks exactly like him. Mr. Brooks bellows at him that the food is further inside and he has already started eating when Dawson joins him, takes one bite, and clip 6.
Mr. Brooks, this is really good.
You're not one of them.
One of who?
One of those teenagers who can't stand a moment of good old-fashioned silence. If the dinner table is meant for talking, they'd call it the talking table.
You know what? I'm gonna take this inside.
Well, yeah, well, that's why your friends never come over here and help you. You don't face your issues, Leary. You just take them outside. You keep doing that, you're gonna end up doing a hell of a lot more than just painting alone.
What about you? You've got a whole wall full of photographs, full of people who I've never seen before. Who are they? I mean, you once critiqued my photography, saying I didn't have enough life in my pictures. I would say you've got the opposite problem. Where are these pictures in your life?
Those are my brothers. 30 years ago, they came to me asking for money to start their own business. My gut was screaming no. Didn't feel right. Timing was not the best, but they needed me.
And even though your gut said no...
Well, invested a lot, business lost a lot, and so did I. As you take on years, Mr. Leary, you'll come to realize that you don't always lose people from your life by choice. Sometimes it just happens when you make the wrong ones.
I know I keep talking about the dog he doesn't have, but get a dog. Really, yeah. You feel a lot better.
Yeah. And also, we know you were dropped down in this small vacation resort town at random.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why you've had trouble.
Perhaps.
Making friends, but nice acting by Presnell in mm-hmm. the scene.
Sometime later, Joey is hunched over a book on the end of her dock. I can't tell, but at first I thought she was kneeling, and then I saw, okay, she's dangling her feet over. It's just a weird frame. But anyway, Dawson flaps up in his huge pants with a piece of paper in his hand. They small talk about why she is behind on her reading. And if you're going to tell us about a guest who sings in the shower, don't tell show, please.
Mm-hmm.
But when she invites him to sit, he says he can't stay, which is when she notices the paper and guesses he has decided not to write her the recommendation. Clip 7.
I've been thinking about it since the minute he asked me. And the answer just keeps on coming back the same. I'm not the right person to write this. Not anymore.
You did what I asked. You thought about it, and I thank you for that.
Sorry.
That's when Pacey sees them.
Dawson.
Gentlemen.
Ralph. Sam. Like I said, I think that they did a pretty good job. We'll get to it, but there's some conversations that it's like, shouldn't this have been talked through before you even got on the boat kind of thing in terms of her explaining how she feels about Dawson to Pacey? But given how contrived this was, I thought they met the brief pretty well.
Mm-hmm. When Dawson has left, Joey wearily tells him what that was as fast as she can, ending by saying, it's really nothing. Clip 8.
Well, that's not nothing. The nothings you tell me about, it's the somethings that you keep secret.
I know this tone, and it signifies the start of a really nasty conversation, but you know what? It takes two to have one, and I'm not up for sparring. Not over this.
Ah, so now you get to decide what it is that we talk through, but you also get to decide what it is that we let slide, huh? Were you ever going to tell me about this?
It's been hard to tell you much of anything this week. Never around.
Okay, look. If you were angry with me for how much time I was spending with Andy,
look,
you should...
Pacey, it's not it, okay? I was just waiting to see if he'd agree to do it in the first place before starting World War. Where are we now, 15? And if you're upset that I asked him, Pacey, it's because it was the question.
God. Guys.
You had nothing to do at sea for an entire season.
Yeah. So Joey starts reciting all the pivotal moments in her life that Dawson was there for, annoying all of us who, as we keep saying, think Pacey was probably there also, but that the show forgets that whenever it needs to for love triangle purposes.
Yeah.
Joey ends on the day her poor dead mom, poor dead, died, and how Dawson was there for her and didn't have to ask how she was feeling. Clip 9.
You can't be angry with me for asking him.
I'm not angry that you asked Dawson to do something for you. It's the question. The person who knows you best. When do I get to be that person?
I mean, like, okay, this is the one thing where I'm like, yeah, fair. But, I mean, even if you say Pacey's not the person who has known her best, arguably he's the person who knows her best right now. Like,
yeah.
If nothing else, True. He's seen every inch of her body than when they were somehow not fucking on the boat, you know?
Yeah. Like, if you're waiting for knows you biblically, like, that's easily solved and should have been months ago.
Please.
Failing that, like, they are expecting you to ask an older sibling, so just do that.
Yes, God.
But no. We have to have this happening.
No. So from here, they cross into the A-plot. We will see them there. And speaking of the A-plot, here it is. The fallout from Andy's rave adventure continues falling out. We open on exposition. Andy has not been back to school since the bounce house incident because she's been too afraid of getting roasted to death. And Pacey has been bringing her homework as though she doesn't also have a brother who also goes to her school and lives in her house.
Yeah.
Andy's happy everyone's been visiting, but concerned that they've each come alone and don't seem to be speaking to each other. Pacey doesn't deny that they've kind of fallen out, not just Jen and Jack, but everyone. Andy says that's ridiculous. They all talked about it, and I guess we're supposed to assume she told everyone not to blame Jen, but at least as far as Pacey's concerned, it didn't take. Clip 10.
I told you, it's not her fault. Okay, I'm gonna fix this. I'm just gonna get a hold of her and...
Why? Honestly, why, Andy? I mean, maybe not all friendships need to be saved. You know, maybe we're meant to just spend a certain part of our lives with certain people and then move on. Isn't that what this whole year is supposed to be about anyway, moving on?
Pacey, we can move on without moving away from each other.
Well, maybe we can't.
I mean, yeah, but then you have no show.
Right, but I mean, even with Pacey and Andy's history, I don't buy him being this cold about Jen. Like, I think he would understand what it's like to be wrongly persecuted. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is what I referred to earlier. Like the idea that if Andy hadn't explained to her peer group, even if she waited until Angry was out of the room to do it.
Yes.
That it's like Jen shouldn't have had the drugs with her. Yes, but she warned me not to take it and tried to help. Like, this was my decision. Get off her dick.
Yeah.
I just don't believe that she wouldn't have done that and that they wouldn't have gone along.
Mm-hmm. At school, Jack stops dead in the hall and the camera does a slow push in on him as he spots Jen and then on her mournful face. But no amount of soulful heartbreak from her can stop him glaring back hatefully and then storming out.
No.
As this is a gif, of course. As she's watching him go, Drew comes up behind her to do a guess who she is in no mood for, saying the rough skin and questionable odor tells her it's her least favorite person on Earth. She thought they had come to the understanding that the best thing he could do for her and civilization is die. He can't banter with her right now because her friends are giving him the impression they think he's a bad influence on her. Jen says because of him, her friends aren't speaking to her. And as she tries to ignore him, Drew rattles on about how easy it was to drive a wedge between Jen and her friends. But she should remember he's always been here for her, not pretending to be and then judging her afterwards. And can she say the same about her Capeside friends? Jen doesn't care if none of them ever speaks to her again. She won't try to get any comfort from Drew. And he says what doesn't kill him just makes him more diabolical. And we disagree on whether she should kill him. Kill him! But I think everyone knows how I feel.
All of this is also insane. There's no way that she would continue like having contact with him if they weren't on the same television program. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those like teenage villains that it's like he also should be applying to colleges and thinking about other shit.
Mm-hmm.
And not be monomaniacally focused on fucking with this group. At least Abby Morgan seemed to have other places to go and people that she spoke to.
She did.
I find him occasionally like a slight shot in the arm, and I think he may redeem himself in that regard later in the season. But at this point, he's just exhausting to me, and that Jen cares what he thinks or engages with him at all is also exhausting to me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso, balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
At the McPhee house, Andy is watching a British-accented melodrama while Joseph watches her. When she notices he is not paying attention to the TV and turns it off, he says, clip 11.
I've made a lot of mistakes with this family. I want to fix that.
You don't have
Look,
to.
Look, I spoke to Principal Prescott this afternoon. You have more than enough credits to graduate, and now with your early acceptance to university, all that you really need to do is walk come June. So, what would you think about taking the rest of the school year off?
Okay.
To do what? Get a job?
You know, that's not exactly what I had in mind. I was trying to remember the last time I saw you relax. No responsibilities, no burden, no worries. And then I remembered your face that summer in Florence with Aunt Georgia.
All of this is fairly dumb also, but I wanted to get in this final redemption of Angry McPhee.
Aunt Georgia, he says, would love her company again now. The next 4 years are going to be more intense than high school. That was, by the way, also not my experience, like pushing to get into college, making sure I got good grades. That was way harder than actual college was
me. Absolutely.
He says this could be the only time she ever gets a chance like this. She looks conflicted hilariously, like, take the rest of the school year off. I mean, as I yelled, okay, end of conversation.
Yeah, like even if she lives in Rome, Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, why would she? Her name is Georgia, but take the time. Go.
Seriously. But she looks conflicted, and we're supposed to know how she feels by this. Clip 12.
Think about it.
That music is the music in a 1972 nature film where they're showing bunnies in the meadow in Yosemite Park.
Over to Jack, getting an email on his America Online account from Jen with the subject 911. Andy rudely spies over his shoulder at it sitting unclicked in his inbox and tells him he can't keep avoiding Jen. Jack says he can try and deletes it. He doesn't want to have this conversation, so Andy tells him about Italy. Jack says it sounds like she would be running away, but when she asks what from, he reminds her that she's been looking forward to senior year forever. If she stays, she'll have 6 months of zero responsibility, surrounded by family and friends. Andy says those friends can't be in the same room at the moment, but Jack says that's all the more reason to stay. She's the only one everyone is still talking to, and adds, clip 13.
I always pictured you as a girl that didn't just go to the last party of senior year, but threw it.
This bitch is not throwing parties. Trust me, I am this bitch. Yeah. She's too scared.
Yeah, no.
But he just guilts her that he never thought she would miss the end of all this as he trudges up the stairs, adding that he guesses he's been wrong about a lot of people lately, and Andy gives this a much milder eye roll than it deserves. At school the next day, Jen gets summoned to a meeting we can see is with Mitch Grams, a cop, and Mrs. Valentine. So Mitch is still some kind of guidance counselor, vice principal. Where's this Principal Peskin we just heard tell of? Whatever. Clip 14.
Yeah.
This is Officer Morris from Juvenile Correction.
What's up?
I had to tell them. You've been naughty, naughty kids, Jen, and frankly, we need help.
Joe, what are you doing?
What's best? I told him all about our mutual experience with ecstasy and how we both contributed to the delinquency of poor Andy McPhee.
Have a seat, Jen.
Listen, you can't believe a word that this guy says. He's just
a victim. Drew had finally cleaned up his act.
Does anybody want to hear my side of the story before handing down a sentence?
It's not about punishment, Jen. It's about prevention.
Are you guys actually buying this crap?
Jennifer.
Are you saying that we don't have a past speckled with recreational drug use?
I'm saying that I don't have a present. Grams, please, you know me. Ask.
Jen, I've admitted to my part. I mean, I admit that I gave you the drugs. And somehow they got from your hands to Annie's nervous system. I mean, do I fib?
Okay. First of all, fib. Shut
no.
up. Second of all, Matkovich's LOL smirk, like to camera after prevention, was very evil and chef's kiss. Third of all, is Sheriff Witter at a conference for seaside town policing? why do Grams and Mitch buy any of this? Mm-hmm. They have had enough contact with Drew to, like, either they barely know him and shouldn't take his word over Jen's, or they do know him and definitely shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That Grams would just be like shocked and stunned and saddened beyond belief by any of this is really character assassination of a bunch of people, but mostly Jen. It's really unfair.
Yeah, I mean, we're about to hear more of it, but the whole thing seems to turn on Grams as, like, shame. She doesn't really have that, I don't think, usually.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mrs. Valentine turns to the cop to say that by snitching on himself first, Drew has demonstrated he's ready to face his past indiscretions. Mitch can't help sounding sarcastic as he says they all recognize how forthcoming Drew is, and the cop adds that he thinks 100 hours of community service should take care of it. Grams excuses herself, humiliated, and when Jen tries to go after her, Drew tells Jen they can meet up later and figure out what part of the community is most in need of servicing. Shut up. Outside, yeah. Jen chases Grams, asking if she should start packing her bags now or wait until after dinner, and I would not even bring that up if I knew for a fact my shitty parents did not want me back, probably ever, but...
Yeah.
They go on, clip 15.
I thought we had a relationship based on honesty and truth. I will not yell. I will not punish. Scolding is for children. And Jennifer, you are no longer a child. I wish to God you were. Maybe then there'd still be time to right whatever it is that is wrong with you. I have never, in all my life, been so deeply disappointed in anything or anyone. I don't even have the words.
Okay.
Don't buy it, but I guess we're doing this, so.
After presumably reeling from this for a while, Jen goes to the McPhee house. When Jack answers, she timidly says she got his email. She didn't think he was ever going to write back. He curtly shrugs that he didn't and rolls his eyes that it has to have been Andy. Jen guesses Andy thought it was the only way for them to break their silence, and Jack says it would have required both of them wanting it broken. And he repeats that he didn't email Jen and has nothing to say to her, but as he goes inside, he leaves the door open, literally, so we can get this. Clip 16.
Come on, Jack, what do you want? You want to just be angry, fine, but, I mean, at some point, you're going to have to tell me how to fix this. And you want me to say sorry? I have. I've apologized for making a mistake, for poor judgment. I've apologized for things that I don't even think were really my fault. I'm 17, and I did something stupid. But when you're close to somebody and they do something unexplained or out of character, you don't just abandon them. You of all people should understand. It's killing me what you're doing. You may not ever do what I did, but what you're doing right now, I can tell you, I would never do to anybody, especially you.
There, we talked. Now, do you get it, Andy? Nothing you can do is ever going to fix this.
Famous last words.
Mm-hmm.
Another day, Pacey shows up with more of Andy's homework. Before he can leave, she tells him about Italy, making clear first that it's a secret, and adding when Pacey asks that Jack is not about it. She points out that Jack left once too. Pacey says he moved across town, not across the world. Andy summarizes that Joseph wants what's best for her health, and Jack is being selfish out of love. Pacey figures she wants him to break the tie. She doesn't know why making this decision is so hard. Neither do I. Clip 17.
You know, maybe Jack is right. Maybe going to Italy is running away.
From what?
From everything. Taking the easy way out, packing up when life hits a rough patch.
Or maybe this is exactly what you need. To have the strength of will to take off the training wheels and try riding on your own for a while.
I don't know if I can do that, Pacey. I mean, a lot of what's been happening is because of me, and what are people gonna think
if... You can. You spend way too much time worrying about everybody else. We all do. But at the end of the day, it's your life. It's not your dad's. It's not Jack's. It's not mine. It's yours. And you get to live it. So you're the tiebreaker, Andy.
That's exactly what she wanted to hear.
Right. Back to school. Clip 18. That was a filing cabinet closing, but I love that they did it to, I assume, mimic the sound of cell doors slamming, because the scene is very carceral. Drew is needling Jen about the worthy causes they could be supporting with their service hours while she tries to ignore him, but all it takes for him to goad her into a response is a joke about how sexy she's going to look in her orange jumpsuit. She knows he did all this to preserve his inner Iago, but he's going to learn he can't get back to where he was with these people once they've made their minds up about him. He says they have no idea who he or Jen is, and that's what he's been trying to tell her all along. He is her people, and Capeside is eventually just going to be her past. And then Joseph gets home to Andy and comments that her color is back. She comments that a lot of things are better around here, like Joseph's relationship with Jack. He agrees that it is. Andy says that if Joseph and Jack can work things out, then Jen and Jack should be able to, right? Or Pacey and Dawson, or anyone. And Joseph wisely says, it just takes realizing what you'll risk losing by letting someone go, which doesn't seem to make Andy feel much better. And that's the end. That's a serious wrap on Joseph.
Oh,
bye, buddy. And then we're outside the fish place as Joey tries to be aggressively normal with Dawson, despite the awkward conversation they just had about him declining to write her college recommendation. When she comments on how dressed up he is for work, he says he's actually there to have dinner with Andy. And Joey says she is too, and so is Jack, who walks up just then. Inside, Pacey's already seated, but doesn't know any more than they do about what's happening, except that Andy's in the can. And she'll tell them all what's going on when the last member of their party arrives, and there's Jen now. And Jack immediately tries to bolt, so Jen volunteers to leave instead. Clip 19.
I just said I was going.
No, I am. I'm leaving Capeside. And that's why I asked you all to come here tonight. To say goodbye, and also there's something that I need to say to you guys, all of you, before I go. So Jen, Jack, please stay.
All right.
I took the drugs myself. Stop being twat.
Seriously. At the head of the table, Andy speeches that it shouldn't have taken all this to get them together. When Joseph first suggested that she leave school early, she made a pros and cons list. The pros were obvious, but the biggest con was leaving all of them. They've all been great friends to her, but now they're a mess and they need to talk about last week's fiasco. She orders them to stop blaming Jen and takes responsibility for her own medical crisis. Also, clip 20.
And Pacey, Joey, Dawson, you guys are so lucky. Do you have any idea how rare it is to have friends that you've known your entire life? So please don't underestimate that. Because in the end, you always go back to the people that were there in the beginning. And in the beginning, there were the three of you. And you too. You know what? This is just, it's really inexcusable. The biggest reason that was keeping me here was the thought that if I left, you wouldn't have a sister around. But then I realized that you would. When I first met you, I didn't know much about love or friendship. And each of you taught me a lot about both. So maybe by my leaving, I can return the favor. Because the thought of it ending like this, the way things are right now, it's just, it's not how I want to remember us. Do you?
While food is plentiful in the summer, winter approaches and the rabbits are in danger.
No one has the guts to speak, but Jen gets up and hugs Andy. And sometime later, Pacey and Joey end up loitering outside the occupied unisex bathroom. She tries to apologize, but he stops her to say he is sorry for how he reacted. Clip 21.
I reacted like Pacey.
You know who that guy you reacted like is going to be in 10 years, Pace? The person who knows me best. Dawson knows my past. My future lies with you. Think about it, you know, you didn't even like me 3 years ago.
Well, you always tease the ones you love.
And you do have to always deal with the ones that you used to love.
That was real clumsy.
Wow. Yeah. Wait till you fucked. Start making grand pronunciamentos, please.
As I Will Remember You starts up, Pacey and Joey both look back at the table where Andy and Dawson are chatting happily. And Pacey nods to Joey and accepts a forehead kiss. And then outside, Jack chases after a weeping Jen, clip 22.
Is that the girl that used to tell me everything?
Is that the boy who used to listen?
I never stopped listening, Jen. I just didn't particularly like what I was hearing. Look, what Andy said in there, you are such an important part of my life, and I thought maybe you were changing on me.
I haven't changed, Jack. Still me. Jen Lindley, a girl who screws up every now and again.
I'm sorry.
I don't need an apology. I just need somebody who will stand by me. You willing to do that?
You willing to keep standing?
I always forget Michelle Williams has such a weird laugh. It's the same in Dying for Sex. It's like really sounds fake. I'm sure that's real, yeah. But it's strange.
I had also forgotten how much of this season she spends either on the verge of or in tears.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag justice for Happy Jen. Anyway, I'm glad that this worked out somehow.
Mm-hmm. She's good at crying at least. Mm-hmm. Outside somewhere else, Joey is leaning over in a way that makes Katie Holmes's mic pack look like a hump. Like, she's got a sweater pulled over it, but her jacket has...
Why did they not rethink this shot? So dumb.
It looks terrible. Anyway, Dawson finds her. He says he never doubted how well he knew her. He was just scared of what would happen if he had to write it down. Before, she told him that if he decided to write the recommendation, he was the right person for the job. So if the offer still stands, he would love to do it. She would like that too. And then he smiles and it's the smug smile. And it's like, buddy, you were doing so well. Don't start doing that again.
That was a good, it was a good line. And then there was that like condescending beaming face. And I was like, nope, go back to Gretchen smile. That's the Dawson we can stand.
Please. Anyway, they look up the boardwalk at Andy and Pacey talking, and clip 23.
It's nice to see.
Gives him something to hold on to.
Him or them? What? I have no idea what that line means. Like, I seriously can't understand.
Yeah, it must be them, but that doesn't make that much more sense.
No, whatever. We don't find out which it is, because then Dawson asks Joey to come back inside and give them all something to hold on to. And then we're over with Andy and Pacey, clip 24.
You know, this could potentially be the last time
we... Don't say that. There's no need for that. You'll be back, you know, there's prom and there's graduation.
And a whole nother world out there. Pacey, you said it yourself.
Is that why you're doing this? Because of what I said?
Pacey, you gave me my strength, you know? The strength to do things that I always needed to do but was too afraid to do.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think that you get to use the adjective afraid anymore while being self-referential. You can now use brave and perhaps occasionally stalwart.
Stalwart? No, I hate stalwart.
Well, that's too bad. You're stuck with stalwart.
I just want to speak up for the news radio heads who can never hear that word without remembering a fight between Dave and Lisa because she called him Stuart, which is her ex's name, in bed, and then claims she was calling Dave stalwart. And he says, well, you're a very noble lover, too. But anyway... Pacey's gonna miss Andy's belief that everything in the world is wonderful until proven utter crap. So can she leave them all some of that when she goes? And she agrees, and they hug. And when everyone has reconvened inside, Jack tells Andy the only reason he told her she shouldn't go is because he's gonna miss her so much. He's upset about the idea of saying goodbye, but she says he's her brother. There are no goodbyes, and they exchange I love yous and hug. And then Dawson sets the timer on his camera, and just before it snaps, Andy puts Pacey's arm around Dawson and slips out from between them. And Pacey does a better job than Dawson at not being a bitch about it, as you can see in the visual aids. And there's a final group shot, and then an in loving memory card for David Dukes, who died on October 9th, 2000, which is just about a month before this episode aired on November 15th, 2000. We miss him. We will miss Andy, but she will be back for the graduation episode and the series finale. But this is more or less the last of her on the show.
I think she filmed scenes for the series finale that got cut, but
we'll
get there.
Well, she's credited. I don't know.
I think the writers just didn't know what to do with her anymore and had made the mistake after Williamson left the show of having her cheat on Pacey. And after that, they were just like, well, the viewers don't like her, so we guess she's got to go. So that's why Ms. Monroe left the show, but kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's a drag. Let's close things up by naming our episode MVP. Gotta be Andy. She fixed everything after Jack said she couldn't.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to Angry because it was a series and this side of the veil rap on McPhee Pear. And he set in motion everything that let Andy fix everything. And he really turned it around with his own attitude and Jack and all that. So since he won't be around to qualify for it after this, needs must.
Least valuable player. Joey, fucking pick your sister. How many times do we have to fucking say it?
There's a bunch of people here, including Gramps and Mitch, for not knowing Jen at all, apparently. But I'm going to go with the music coordinator. Not only was there an absolutely felonious amount of flutling, but like that song belongs to the Buffy season 2 finale that was on your network. And it was not that long ago. Mm-hmm. Get yourselves correct. Mm. Next time on Again With This, the show puts the eye back in Kaiser Soze with a prank investigation involving the principal's boat, and Mr. Brooks is ready for his close-up. Some of these turn-of-the-millennium fashions, not so much, but you can decide for yourselves with our visual aids. We do them for every single episode of the podcast, and you will find those, along with the episodes themselves, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm Random Under 5, who fortunately fit into Dylan Neal's uniform, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is cool expatriate aunt Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, doesn't even have the words. Talk to you next time. Love it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.